Good evening, everyone. Thank you. Luke chapter 18, we're going to start at verse 31, page 1053 of the Church Bibles. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be turned over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Amen. This is God's word to us this evening. Please have your Bibles open again at Luke chapter 18. And as you're turning there, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we know that without your mercy tonight, we cannot understand your word. We cannot understand what you're trying to say to us. Please have mercy on us. Open our ears. Would you give us hearts receptive to your word? Let there be no misunderstanding. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before Tricia and I moved to Enfield in the summer now of 2014, one of our final responsibilities at the church where we were serving beforehand was that we had to do one last week of church camp, a week-long residential holiday for teenagers, a bit like our own church camp. The week was in rural Lincolnshire, in the middle of nowhere. And anyone who's ever done anything like it will know that by the end of the week, all you want is to get home to your bed because it is very, very tiring. Now, inevitably, being responsible for the week, you're the last to leave. So you're there, and you're going through the final checks, and you think, finally, I can go home. I'm exhausted. Now, as we are driving home in the middle of nowhere, for some reason, the car broke. The little screen on my dashboard said, "Emergency, pull over, turn off the ignition." I had no idea it could tell me those things. But it did. We're in the middle of nowhere. There's no one around. And all I want to do is get home to my bed. I was miserable. I was almost in tears. And all I could do was phone the RAC man and shout, "Help. Please, please, will you come and show us some mercy?" And even that was hard because I had no idea how to describe where I was. At the heart of this passage in Luke 18 tonight is a cry for that word, mercy. In verse 38, a blind man calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Mercy means help for the helpless. All of us, I'm sure, have been in helpless situations. Situations where all we could do was cry out, "Help me. Someone, please show me mercy." You see, mercy happens when, on the one hand, someone is in desperate need, and we call out to someone who can help us, who can meet that need, and is willing to show mercy towards us. The beggar that we read about tonight desperately needed mercy. I'm sure he would have been known to the people of Jericho. I'm sure he would have been a familiar face, a bit like one of our big issue sellers in Enfield Town. There was no benefit system in those days. If he didn't shout out, if he didn't beg, it was that or he would starve to death. He had no other options. This man was a nobody. And I'm pretty sure the people of that day in Jericho thought of him as something of an annoyance. You know that blind guy who's always shouting out for money? No, I've got no spare change. Not today. Not ever. If anyone was helpless, if anyone needed mercy, it was this man. And that is what he called out for urgently as Jesus passed by that day. And as that blind man shouted to Jesus for mercy that day, his encounter is supposed to open our eyes to a mercy that we, all of us, need to shout to Jesus for. A mercy that will rescue us from certain judgment that will one day come. Whether we see it or not, whether we like it or not, we need to be like this beggar tonight. We need to shout out to Jesus for mercy, every single one of us, without exception. And I want to show you tonight three ways that we need to be like this blind beggar. Here's number one. Blind beggars know they need their eyes opened. If you've got your eyesight, it's difficult to imagine what it's like to be blind. When I was a kid, we would often go on holiday to our grandparents. They lived out in the country. And on wet days, and invariably there were many wet days, we would play a game called Blind Man's Buff. If you're of a certain vintage, you might remember that game. One person is blindfolded, and the other people in the room have to sort of avoid being tagged. And if someone is tagged, the person who's blindfolded has to guess who it is they've tagged. You get the idea. Now, you can imagine what happened when four or five rowdy lads were playing this in quite a small room. No piece of furniture was safe. No ornament was safe. It was pretty dangerous, not just because of the amount of trips and falls, but we played in a room that there was an open fire in. Looking back, I can't believe that. We were blindfolding young children in a room with an open fire in it. Looking around tonight, I think most people here, to some degree or other, have their eyesight. Maybe with the help of glasses or contact lenses, but most of us can see at least something. But Jesus wants us to know this evening that when it comes to seeing who he really is, why he's really come, when it comes to understanding the events of his death and resurrection, without his help, without calling out to him for mercy, we are walking around blindfolded. Even worse, we're walking around blindfolded when there's a massive fire in the room and we're walking right towards it. Let me explain. Look where the story of the blind man comes in Luke's gospel. Look back up at verse 31. Look at what it says. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." What was the response of the disciples in verse 34? They don't have a clue what he's talking about. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. At this point, they're blind, and they need Jesus to open their eyes and give them understanding of who he is. And blindness to Jesus, of who he is and why he's come, is so dangerous because of the title he uses for himself, Son of Man. That title comes from the Old Testament book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, Daniel is a prophet, and he's given a vision of heaven. And the Son of Man appears in his vision of heaven. And the Son of Man is there being worshipped by everyone. And the Son of Man is given a kingdom that will never pass away. The Son of Man is pictured as the one who has all power and all authority. The Son of Man is the one who at the end of time guarantees that judgment is coming. And the Son of Man is the judge of all, who will be there judging all at the end of time. The New Testament reveals the Son of Man that Daniel saw as the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is the one who will decide whether we face eternal life or whether we face eternal suffering. He is the one the Bible tells us we will stand before on Judgment Day, the day that is to come, and all the events of our life will be laid out before him, and we will have to give account. We won't be the final authority on what we've done. Jesus will. We may like to think that we're good people, that we've not done anything too bad, that actually we'll be fine. But what we think of ourselves is not the big problem. Jesus is the final judge. And the Bible says that each of us is not good. We have all done evil and thought evil. None of us have lived up to our own standards, never mind God's. Someone who's not quoted from this pulpit very often is the actor Sylvester Stallone. Probably for good reason. But he played Rocky and he played Rambo and a bunch of other people. Listen to what he said about human beings. If you think people are inherently good, get rid of the police for 24 hours and then see what happens. Pretty sharp insight. Because every single person has rejected God's standards of right and wrong. And every single person only deserves the right judgment of hell. Now, as Jesus starts to lay these things out before the disciples, they don't see it. They're blindfolded. They don't understand that God's plan of rescue for that day of judgment was that Jesus would be rejected and killed, and 3 days later he would rise again. Without Jesus' mercy to open their eyes, they're blind. And without the mercy of Jesus to open our eyes, without him taking down the blindfold, without that mercy, we won't understand God's plan for why Jesus came, why he was handed over to his enemies, why he was crucified, why he rose again 3 days later. Without the mercy of the Lord Jesus, we're playing blind man's buff. We're blindfolded, and we're walking right towards that fire of destruction. This is humbling. The beggar is a picture of each one of us. We need to be like this man. We need to call out, Jesus, I want to see. We need your mercy. I desperately want your help, Jesus. Pride so often stops us from believing. Pride so often wants to say of myself, I'm not a beggar. I'm not sitting at the side of the road. I'm doing quite well, thanks very much. But all of us need our eyes open to see how we really are. We're skewed away from God. We have evil hearts. We all need our eyes opened. We all need to see that we need a rescuer. And he is the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who died and rose again for each one of us. We need to be like the blind beggar. We need our eyes opened. But we also need to be like the blind beggar and ask Jesus to mercifully open our eyes. Look back at verse 35. We're told that Jesus entered Jericho when he was passing the blind man. And as the crowd hustled past, you can imagine that the blind man changing his usual line of patter, if you like. You know, from any spare change, guys. Any spare change there, anything at all. I'm blind and I'm hungry. Can you help? And suddenly this large crowd of people come by. And you can almost picture in your mind, say, oh, I wonder what all this is about. Someone tell me what's going on. Who's here? Why is this big crowd of people walking into Jericho? Who is it? And the crowd say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And as the crowd tell him it's Jesus, he shouts out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the crowd, we're told in verse 39, they say, Jesus isn't for you. He's not for nobodies. He's not for blind beggars. No, no, no. Jesus has not got time for people like you. What does a beggar do? He shouts even louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The man isn't whispering politely, Jesus, do you think you could come and help? No, he's bawling at the top of his lungs. The language there of the text is that he's shouting himself hoarse. Jesus, I need your help. This man is desperate for eye-opening mercy from Jesus. Think of what the man shouts, Son of David. It's another one of those Bible code words, like Son of Man. King David was a king who helped helpless people. Think of perhaps the most famous story of his life. When he went to fight Goliath, God's people thought they were helpless against this massive enemy. You know, every day, Goliath went out and challenged God's people. Come, someone come out and we'll have one-on-one combat. And if I win, you become our slaves. And if you win, we'll become your slaves. And everyone's terrified. Until out strolls little David. And with the equipment of a shepherd, he takes down a giant and cuts off his head. God's king helps helpless people. And Son of David was a title the Old Testament used for God's promised deliverer. Someone who was going to be even greater than David. Someone who would supremely help helpless people, who would show supreme mercy. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah wrote that when the great deliverer came, this Son of David, the eyes of the blind would be opened. The humble and the needy would rejoice. How the blind man knew that Jesus was the Son of David, we're not told. But as he shouted out, he certainly wasn't disappointed. In verse 40, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. He willingly wants to help this man. He willingly wants to show his mercy. And while we might think he asks him an obvious question, what do you want me to do for you? Of course, we know what Jesus to do for him. But this question is the question Jesus has been asking every single person for the past 2,000 years. What do you want me to do for you? Do you want your eyes opened? Do you want to see why I had to die and rise again 3 days later? Do you want to see why that judgment is coming? And there is only one way to be rescued from it. Do you want help? Do you want mercy? Or do you want to stay in the dark, blindfold? The man says, Lord, I want to see. That's a response that Jesus wants us all to give. Jesus wants us to admit that on our own, we're helpless. We're spiritually blind. He wants us to ask him for understanding about the need for his mercy. Think back to my grandparents' house, playing blind man's buff with that roaring fire going on just a few feet from us. Would it have been merciful for my grandparents just to let me walk straight into it? No. If I was ever headed towards it, they would shout and pull down a blindfold and point me to safety. They opened my eyes to the danger and then they rescued me. When we asked Jesus for mercy to open our eyes, we're recognizing that we are sinners who are in great danger. We need the Son of David, God's great deliverer, to rescue us. Remember why Jesus is heading to Jerusalem? Remember, he knew that he was going to be handed over to the Gentiles. He was going to be mocked and spat upon and flogged and killed, and he would rise again 3 days later. He knew that for a helpless evildoer like me to be rescued from the fires of hell, the punishment that my sin deserved was going to have to be laid on him. And it was as he died on a cross. And as he rose again 3 days later, he rose again as the willing Savior who shows mercy to all who will call out to him for it. Now, I know many of us here tonight consider ourselves believers in the Lord Jesus already. I know that many people here can say of themselves, I once was blind, spiritually blind, but now I see. I know lots of people here have called out for that eye-opening mercy of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. But something struck me this week as I read this passage once more. I really hope I'm not making too much of this. But the Christian life starts by calling out to Jesus for mercy. But that is also the pattern the Lord Jesus expects of us as we follow him day by day. You know, daily we need to ask for his mercy as we sin. But daily, he wants us to call out to him for help. You see, there are lots of situations as Christians where we feel completely and utterly helpless. Parents, perhaps it's a child's behavior that you think it's gotten so bad and you feel totally helpless. Teenagers, exams are just over the horizon. Maybe you're feeling totally helpless about that. Many people here are at work in difficult situations and you think, there's nothing I can do. We prayed for a number of people who are ill. Maybe you're ill, physically, mentally. Maybe your loved ones are ill. And you think, this is completely helpless. I can do nothing here. Perhaps it's just getting older with all the aches and pains. Maybe it's another heartache and heartbreak for whatever reason. Jesus doesn't want us just to, you know, muddle on quietly on our own. He wants us to be like this beggar and shout out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wants me to keep on shouting it. He wants us to call out to him for help. He wants us to pray and ask for his mercy. The beggar's faith was expressed by loud cries for help. We need to call out, Jesus, Son of David, I know you love to willingly show mercy. Please, in this situation, will you show me mercy? Sometimes we pray out of a sense of duty. Doogie told me I have to pray, so maybe I should pray. Johnny said I should come to the prayer meeting, so maybe I should come. Do you know what happens, though, as we cry out like this man for mercy? We find a deliverer who is willing to help us. We really do. We find a savior who stops and wants to come and help us. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, it might not always be the answer that we want. He might not take the immediate problem away, but he promises that he'll give us the grace to get through that day. He promises to help strengthen us. My predecessor, who's now the pastor at Silver Street Community Church, said that the prayer meeting, we should rename it the beggar's meeting. On Tuesday night, we've got a great opportunity to come together and call once more, Jesus, Son of David, please help us. This local church, we need to cry out together for his help, both for gospel growth in Enfield and for each other. Please come. Please encourage one another. Call out Jesus, Son of David. Will you have mercy on me? And as we cry out, what I've often found is that I've got a Savior who's more willing to help. And he's more willing to help much more often than I am willing to cry out and ask for it. Come. Please, come and cry out, Jesus, Son of Mercy. If that situation feels hopeless tonight, ask for his help. Here's the last way we need to be like this beggar this evening. You see, open-eyed beggars trust Jesus with the leadership of their lives. Look at verse 42 again. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. The blind man asked Jesus to mercifully open his eyes, and Jesus did it. Now again, most of us, because we can see, can't really imagine how amazing it must have been for the blind man that day. Think about it. If he could see at some point in his life, he never thought he would see the faces of his loved ones again. Never thought he would see the blue sky or the grass or the trees or the football on the telly, or whatever it was. He thought those days were gone. And Jesus opened his eyes. How joyful he must have been. Up until I was 10, when I looked straight ahead, I saw everything with double vision. It's true. I had to have an operation when I was 10. And up until I was that age, I thought everyone saw the world in double vision. It played havoc with my balance, like I can assure you. And to straighten it, to correct it, I had to hold my head at a kind of 10-degree tilt. Now, after the operation and the recovery period, being able to hold my head straight and see single vision, I tell you, that was great. But the thought of, you know, not being able to see anything and then being able to see everything again, wow, what a relief. What joy, how brilliant that must have been. And yet, having received the mercy of Jesus, what did the man do? Well, there was only one direction that his life would now take. Following Jesus, trusting him for the leadership of his life, no matter what would come. And this is exactly what it is like when Jesus mercifully opens our eyes as well. It changes the way we see Jesus. It changes the way we see the world. It changes the way we see ourselves and others, and it changes the way we see the future. Our focus now is on him. It's not about money or possessions or our friends. One of the most amazing proofs that Jesus has opened our eyes, that we realize who he is and why he's come, is that we'll be following him. There was a famous Scottish runner. You've probably heard of him. He's a man called Eric Liddell. He was a Christian. He famously wouldn't run on a Sunday, and he won a gold medal
about 90 odd years ago. After his famous running career, he went as a missionary to China and served there for about 20 years. During World War II, he was imprisoned by the Japanese, and sadly, he died just a few weeks before the liberation of his camp. Apparently, his last words were, "It's complete surrender. It's complete surrender." He wasn't talking about surrendering to the Japanese. He was talking about how he'd surrendered all of his life to following Jesus. When our eyes are opened, he becomes our focus. And we will go and we will serve him wherever he puts us. What will be another amazing proof that he is our focus? Well, look at what the man does. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And look, when people are shown mercy by Jesus, often what they do is they go away praising God. Those whose eyes have been opened, suddenly their mouths have been opened as well. They start to speak about Jesus. I've got a picture in my head of the man walking down the street, you know, saying, "Do you know what Jesus has done for me? He's opened my eyes. Once I was blind, now I can see." Do you imagine what that man talked about for the rest of his life? I'm sure people eventually found him so boring at dinner parties. He would never shut up about how much Jesus had done for him. "He's opened my eyes. Did I tell you that story? Only 100 times." Can we speak of Jesus too much? No. When we think of what he's done for us, we should exactly be like the blind man. We should be speaking of him often so that others themselves who are spiritually blind, with his help, the blindfold might come off and they might receive the mercy of the Lord Jesus themselves. And we need to speak to each other of him often as well. Why? Because of the days that we feel helpless ourselves. We need to remember and encourage each other about the mercy the Lord Jesus has shown. As I close, there are only two types of people here this evening. Those who can say, "I once was blind, but now I see because I asked Jesus for mercy." And there are those who are still blind. There are those who are blind to the reality that judgment is coming. Who are blind to the reality that Jesus is the Son of Man and Jesus is the Son of David. That he came to this earth to die for sins, to rise again 3 days later. That all those who would trust in him would be set free. If you've been blind to the reality of that, you can ask for the mercy of Jesus tonight. Use the words of the beggar. "Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Receive his mercy and leave tonight following Jesus and praising God. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight that you came to open the eyes of spiritually blind people like us. Please open our eyes so that we can understand why you, the Son of Man, had to go to the cross and die in the place of sinners and then rise again. Please help us to call out to you for mercy and help us to keep calling out for your help as we follow you. Would our mouths be filled by speaking about you and your mercy this week, that others may come to know of it themselves? We ask this in Jesus' name, in your name. Amen.